Hi, how are you?
Hi, Jeff. How are you doing?
Bill, I'm well. How are you?
I am great. And let's welcome our listeners to another episode of the SoCal Riff Ranch podcast.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
the podcast. This is episode 9.
We're on 9.
We're getting close to our 10 milestone.
I love it.
Exciting.
Yeah. This was a good episode.
It really was. Yeah. These were the OCD pedals.
Yeah, the full tones.
The full tones. And, you know, we didn't jump on the bandwagon because of all the hate mail full tone was getting. There's some comments that he made.
There's some baggage.
There's some baggage that goes with that, but we didn't burn our OCDs. We still have them.
No, yeah. Yeah, we can't. We can't do that.
No.
They're valuable for the collection. You know, and it's interesting. So, like, 2000s. You remember when these things came out, it was kind of like, I remember everybody talking about them and then finally seeing one and just going, so is it an overdrive? What does it do exactly? Do you remember the first time you started seeing those?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it's one of the first pedals I got was the OCD.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And I didn't know much about pedals at the time, so I was like at the Guitar Center. I'm like, hey, I want to get a pedal. I'd kind of like to get an overdrive. What do you think? And they, oh, you got to get an OCD.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay.
Yeah. It's, you know, that was one of the first pedals where that whole word transparent, and I was using it. I don't even know what it meant. I didn't know what it means. You know,
it just sounded good.
It sounds great. It sounds great to use, you know, that transparent overdrive thing. So I, prior to ever playing one, I was like, okay, the name's great. Love it. Looks great. What's the deal with it?
I'm OCD anyway, I'm on board. Right,
I'm on medication for it. So let's do it. It makes sense. No, people, you know. People suggested it. And that whole, and I know we've said it on other episodes, that amp in a box theory, I think totally started applying to a pedal like this, to where you go from, you know, minimum to max, like we do in the episode, and you really hear the gamut of how this is an overdrive slash distortion, as people will sometimes label it. And I think that's the defining thing. If it's an amp in a box, it goes from an overdrive to almost a distortion with an amp-like quality. So to take that already and have how many renditions, how many versions, the V1 point, you know, all through the gamut of so many renditions of the OCD, to have that many different sounds of this thing, and then lo and behold, the germanium.
Yes, the germanium. And it just looks different from the rest, first of all, because of the color.
The teal.
And then you're wondering, are they going backwards by putting a germanium chip? I've heard things about germaniums, how they're unstable and everything. I'm actually intrigued.
Very, very much so. And so we've talked about it. We have a couple of the different white versions, right?
Right.
So we shot out the latest white one, which is the 2.0. But leading up to that one, all the drama with, you know, which version do you have? And the builders who were involved. And this one sounds like this. And many websites dedicated to it. And I love that kind of thing, that we had to open them up and see what the guts were to even identify them.
Even the graphics on the front are a little bit different as they developed them.
That's right.
They got those little swoop marks to show you that you turn the knobs certain ways. The early ones didn't have that.
Totally, totally. And the LEDs, if you noticed in the video, I was like, oh, they're both blue in that one. I forgot. I have one that has a red LED. So the different changes, and we will get to it. We'll do all the OCDs one of these episodes. But
yeah, and what I like about those two, Jeff, is I don't need a screwdriver to get in them. You know, the Boss is obviously a nice one because you just turn one little screw and you can open it up. And the OCDs have those little screws on the side with the little grippers for your fingers.
Yeah.
And so you can get in and change the battery if you want to pretty easy.
Well, it's funny. I remember last time I was over, I was opening the one. I said, Bill, I want to see if this is your 2.0. And you're like, I know it is because of the logo
graphic
on the front.
Yeah.
But I had already gotten it open because it was that easy.
Yeah, exactly.
Ingenious, you know? Yeah, it's one of those pedals where, you know, I can see it as an overdrive or distortion. And I've noticed the difference between all those white models. They have a couple shootouts online, and it's pretty distinctive where that mid-range sits in all of those.
Yeah, they're generally just a good-sounding pedal. The other thing I remember about my first one that was noticeable to me is it didn't create a lot of noise.
Oh yeah, real quiet
on my board. Yeah, and I was playing around. I had I still have this pedal, the Metal Muff.
Yeah,
and it seemed like it was kind of noisy. And then I was playing around with one of the early Van Halen distortion pedals, and it had a gate on it. It was so noisy. You know?
Oh but yeah.
For some reason, the OCD just seemed like it wasn't a hassle.
Yeah,
I didn't have to worry about whether the gate was on or not because there isn't one because it didn't really need it. It was actually pretty quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and it goes back to it being more of, I guess at the time, a boutique pedal, some would say, and it's, you know, the parts that go into that. And going back to that transparent thing, what's so interesting about it is like, it's made to not color your guitar's sound, right? So yeah, it's like you plug it in and it's very transparent. Your guitar is not going to change color very much, whereas like a fuzz would. And that's interesting because sometimes you want a complete change to your sound. Sometimes you really don't. And you go, where's the tone of my amp? I've heard this amp all along. I just want a little bit of hair. I don't want to change the amp sound or the guitar sound. So it's interesting to go back to how it's so noiseless to do all of that and, you know, beyond my pay grade. I don't know how that all works, but it's really something with those.
And it's kind of funny how you stumble across those pedals early on when you're playing guitar just because somebody else says something about it. So there must have been something going on at the time when the OCD came out. It must have been, and I don't know what it is. You know, I'm in the middle of watching that pedal movie just came out. Surely they're going to say something about that OCD and what it did, because in everybody's mind, when you would talk about them when they first came out, everybody had to have one.
Yeah.
And somehow it was a game changer.
Totally.
Yeah.
And to mimic an amp's tubes, you know, that's really something, because it's also how it cleans up, you know, with your volume knob and where that sits, and to really capture what tubes do to your distortion, because everything's trying to emulate a cranked, you know, distorted tube amp. And to do that in a pedal sense and have some dynamics in that thing is really something. And so you think, wow, they would do a Germanium. Mm-hmm. And that's the breakthrough moment. And we were talking before, Bill, how I remember just hearing Germanium and only thinking of the red fuzz face.
Right.
I always went to fuzz pedals as Germanium, and specifically the red fuzz face, the Hendrix one, the Germanium fuzz face. And I thought it was interesting. I said, whoa, this is like an overdrive distortion with the Germanium. What's that going to do at this point?
Yeah, why did they even decide to do that?
Right.
I don't know if it was a marketing gimmick, you know, or what. But when I saw it and I saw that teal color.
Yeah.
And I think, were you initially the one that went crazy over that? You saw it and you go, oh, check this out.
Oh, yeah. It was that. Well, that one. And then, you know, the next episode, which we did the Keeley Red Dirts, knowing that there was a Germanium from both camps, you know, both overdrive slash distortion pedals, it was like, what is this business? What is it going to do to this thing? And I love it because with the OCD, it's actually marketed from the custom shop. So
yeah.
And it says that like on the logo, if you see that little round emblem, I think it might say something like that under the foot switch.
Oh yeah. That's exactly what it says.
But it's, yeah, so, you know, when you got it the first day, we shot it out with the same one we did in the video, the 2.0, and yeah, it does that thing. I mean, I've read all the comments of what the difference is and the Germanium diodes and transistors.
And maybe, you know, you think, well, okay, so the Germanium chip is a volatile chip, and it kind of goes with the whim of the weather.
Yeah.
Well, we live in Southern California, so we don't have a lot of humidity. It never gets super cold here.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if we will just never actually witness what happens to this chip and why they said that it's so unpredictable.
This is a cool segue, Bill. It's almost so the Germanium diode transistor, the Germanium, you know, it's supposed to be almost like the chameleon of parts. So it actually changes sound due to the weather and how hot it's getting. So it, and I was always told that. I remember a guitar teacher back in the day said, oh, you'll never get Hendrix's tone from that one concert because, well, the weather was just a certain way that day. And part of me thought that was the greatest and worst thing ever. It was like, wait, that, so it's unpredictable. One, the longer you leave it on and the hotter it gets, the better or the worse. And, you know, here's, I've heard there's rumors of some pedal companies adding a fan to keep it at one certain level so it has a sweet spot. So you're almost like, this thing's unpredictable. What do I do with it? So very interesting. It's almost living. The germanium parts, it's like a living pedal, you know?
Yeah.
It's unpredictable. I don't know if that's good or bad, you know? And we were talking before, Bill, like we're always prone to think the older, the retro's better, but there's a reason why things innovate, mm-hmm. right? Like, mm-hmm. it's like, no, we fixed that problem. Why would you want to go back?
Exactly.
It's always hindsight with these things, though. It's like, oh, the better, you know, the nostalgia.
Well, and there even became a point in the life of a pedal board where, and I saw this on the pedal movie, they were talking about a guy who actually started making like custom pedal boards for these big acts.
Mm-hmm.
And what they wanted was they wanted to be able to always just plug that pedal board in. First of all, have it work.
Yeah.
And second of all, have it so stable.
Yeah.
That it just always sounded the same. And so you could see how they maybe, you know, purposely moved away from the germanium chip because it was not stable.
Oh, gosh.
They couldn't always rely that it was going to give them their sound. And so then they went to all this digital stuff, you know, the big refrigerators
that
they had for a while there.
In the
late 80s and early 90s. And they went a totally different direction because they just wanted stability. So it is interesting that they go back to that chip. And maybe it's because now we're nostalgic for the unpredictable. We liked that we didn't know exactly what it was going to do. And therefore, there's some allure. We don't want it to sound the same every time. Yeah, I don't know.
The moral is don't get rid of anything because pretty soon, Bill, it's going to be the refrigerator MIDI rack stuff from the late 80s. That's going to be the ADA processors that everybody had. It's interesting because it's like the 80s you had. It was like, why would you do pedals and these cables that are so unpredictable? Everything's MIDI. Everything is so organized. It's a hassle to move. Like, why would you ever go back to pedals? This is the wave of the future. You're crazy. Pedals are a thing of the past. Pedals get introduced again, then they're like, okay, wait, let's make this a little more foolproof. Let's put these in these racks, and then we're going to have a custom audio, you know, changer, MIDI changer at your feet there that are changing your actual pedals in your rack. But no, you don't want them at your feet. You're going to spill something on them. You know, they're going to short out. Anything can go wrong. Now we're going, let's put the germanium parts back in there. Let's put them at our feet. It'll go wrong, but so it's the whole cycle's coming back around again, which is interesting. I love it. Like in the last 15 years, the boutique pedals and the old is cool again. The books and the documentaries that have been coming out. Yeah. We got the bug hard.
Totally.
You know, it's super fun, but you know that, so the germanium, the chameleon of all pedals, and to put it in something other than a fuzz. You know, and I was doing a lot of reading, and if you've heard those old Hendrix recordings, you know, he cleans up his sound quite a bit to get a clean tone, and that germanium works well to clean up, and that's another thing that was noted, you know, full blown with your volume all the way up, it does its thing, but if you roll that back a little bit, it bites just like a tube amp does.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. So putting it through the OCD, we've heard OCDs all along. We know what they do. Amp in a box. What do you think? I mean, I made notes watching the video back as far as our segments, min to max, 9, noon, and 3. What was your first take?
Well, I think each of the pedals, I don't think they were that completely different.
I mean, they
both sounded really good. The thing I noticed about them the most was when we did the stacking.
Oh, yeah. We got to tell them about that.
Yeah, so what we do on the video, listeners, is we stack the pedals. So we'll turn on like the older pedal, and then we'll run the newer one through it, and then we reverse that and stack them in reverse, and it's part of our show. And what was interesting was when we turned on the version 2, the older pedal, and then we stacked and ran the germanium through it.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there playing with the knobs and it's not doing anything.
So the signal would hit the germanium first.
First, yeah.
And then hit the OCD.
Yeah.
The white one second. And I'm watching you, and literally, it's doing no tonal changing.
It didn't. I played with the tone knob. I played with the drive knob.
Yeah.
And it literally did not sound different. I even flipped the
high and low pass.
The low and high pass. Yeah. And that didn't do anything either. And then when we reversed it.
Totally different.
And we had the germanium on first, and then we ran the older pedal through it.
Correct.
So the germanium was last in the chain.
Yes.
It affected the germanium. The sound did change.
It did that thing that all the overdrives and distortions do, which, wow, I'm using this as a boost all of a sudden. And that was a big moment. We both looked at each other and went, you can't stack with the germanium first. It just won't allow it. Something in there is not letting this translate.
I don't know if it just mows right over the pedals afterwards or what. And what would be interesting is to see how do a test and have a, I don't know, like a chorus or a reverb after.
Yeah.
And then run that germanium into that.
Oh, yeah.
And without it. And then do the non-germanium, the older OCD pedal, and see how it affects it. Does it just affect drives that it's running into,
right,
or other effects? I mean, that's something that we'll have to explore, because now I'm really curious.
Yeah. And I was doing some reading, and that germanium coming from the custom shop, you know, they even talk about how they've replaced some of the parts in there where you can place it anywhere on your board and it doesn't affect your signal as much, but
maybe
it does.
That's a, I don't know.
I don't know. It's so bizarre. And we witnessed it in the next episode as well.
We need to call Full Tone.
Hey,
we got to talk,
getting
to
the bottom of this today. Yeah, that was a trip, man.
Mm. Yeah, it really was. So that was probably the biggest shocker out of the shootout was that. But no, I thought they both sounded really good. I like the germanium sound.
Yeah.
The high pass and the low pass, those are fun to play with. I could go with either one just by messing with the knobs. It's actually a really versatile pedal.
Totally. Whenever I was messing with the OCD before, in my head, I always went, okay, the low pass is the overdrive. The high pass is the distortion. You know, it's like it'll kick it into distortion territory. And however you want to do it, because juggling between, if you're on the low pass and you crank that gain up and put minimal volume, you get a certain sound.
Sure.
And then high pass the other way, a little less gain, a little more volume. So it's real versatile in that sense. It's insane, though, just the OCD's either or. If you max out that gain in high pass, I mean, that's a full-blown hot-rodded Marshall sound.
It is.
That's not an overdrive anymore.
No.
You know, you actually get some palm mutes out of that, yeah, which goes, wow, this is getting into metal territory. You know, that's always the crossover. Does it palm mute? Oh, it chugs. You know, that word.
Right.
Oh, that's a lot of gain. Yeah, you know, before turning on the pedal, I just know in my head, I go, germanium, warm, warm. It's going to be warmer, Bill.
And I noticed it was a little warmer.
Fuzzier, more Velcro-y, mm-hmm, you know, all these. And it definitely was. I kind of noticed this. I was making some notes. I was watching the video last night. You know, min to max, I noticed just the OCD, the common one, is just a little more modern and aggressive sounding. I guess the word would be modern, you know,
okay,
maybe a little more of a scoop in that mid-range. Definitely a little more treble in the white, the original, and more bass, you know.
I noticed that.
Woolly,
yeah,
bass from that germanium. So that was interesting. And then, you know, 9, noon, they're similar. But again, when you get past noon on that white one, on the original, it wants to chug or palm mute a lot more than the germanium. The germanium's a lot more loose, you know, woolly kind of in the palm mutes. So it wasn't as tight of a response.
You mean almost more fuzzy?
Fuzzy, yeah. You know, it just a rounder.
I could see that.
I don't want to say less articulate sound, just messier is the wrong word. It's good. It sounds good. It sounds bigger.
It's just different.
It's not as tight of a distortion, you know, to where I guess I'd say that's more modern sounding when it's tighter. So I think for chord use, the germanium really would come through. It's again, like we said, they both sound good. In the mix of a band, they would all translate. You know, it's the subtleties when you really listen, you go, no, they're different. All right.
Yeah.
And it goes back to feel as well. You know, how did it feel? Oh, you didn't hear this, but I couldn't get the palm mutes where I like them usually. And that's something people don't really think about. These things feel completely different on your hands.
Yeah. Good point. There is a feel there.
Mm. There's a response with pedals where you play to the pedal or the amp. I was always told to plug into a tube amp when you practice. Just trust me, you're going to play differently. You're going to hear differently. You're going to respond and attack the strings differently, anticipating volume changes.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that, because even if you're, and I like to experiment with different combo amps.
Yeah.
I get everything set up and my amp sounds good. And, you know, one of the things they said in that pedalboard movie is, yeah, guitarists like to turn their sound over every 6 months. Well, what does that mean? It means they get bored with their tone, or something gets in their head that their tone could be better or whatever. And then they, you know, they flip flop everything and change everything. And sometimes I'll do that. And then I'll find myself going right back to what I had before, because I'm like, what am I doing? Am I crazy? It sounded great before. Is it just because I get bored with it and I want to, you know, change it?
But the mirage of tone, it's this delusion, you know, I don't know, man. It's something that it changes because our ears change. It changes. What I thought sounded good 1 month will totally change. Or you get bored.
Yep.
Or you notice something maybe different another day. It's really hard to stay consistent, but that's what makes it fun.
Exactly.
You know, and there's also the school of thought where it's like, I love that Tom Morello thing where he's like, I was sick of trying things. I just made this the outfit I was going to do this through, and I never changed a thing, and I wrote songs through it.
And I stuck with it.
I stuck with it. Yep. This is just how it sounds. Now I'm going to move on and start writing.
Yeah.
You know, so the, you know, minimal. It's almost like we do, Bill. There's the whole libraries around this room, and you check out these pedals like books, and you put them on the board. You digest them and then check another one out, but you don't put them all on.
No, and I think if you have a pretty stable board, a board that you've got pedals on there that you know works good with the amp, gets you the sound you need to closely recreate what you recorded, and you get happy with that, what I've found I need to be doing is only using the other pedals really for future creativity.
Color.
Yeah, so that I'm saying, you know what, I don't need to play that pedal just because it's sitting over there and I haven't played it for a while and I'm curious, like grabbing another guitar or something that maybe doesn't even feel as good. What I need to do with those pedals that are sitting there not being used is when I go to do a new song, build a secondary board, a tester board like we have there in front of you, and start working these pedals in and out and see if some combination or just that pedal itself will give me some sort of an inspiration to do something different because it sounds different, and therefore the creative juices start flowing and I write new music that doesn't sound like my old music. Right?
Absolutely.
And so I'm kind of coming to grips with an inventory of pedals and what I should be doing with them. I should not be, in my mind, and I'll still screw around, working them into my main board that's so stable and works well together, and everything.
Bill, that board
set,
is something.
It's fine. Quit messing with it.
But you nailed it by, you have the spots, the modular spots that you change out for color and inspiration. And it's interesting. It's like this. It's like if we recorded like a guitar line dry and we ran it through effects processors and I was sitting next to you and we had like 90 presets we could run the signal through, we'd go, yeah, okay, that's neat. That's neat. However, when you sit down with a pedal and you plug it in and you commit to it and you're turning the knobs and you're playing through the actual pedal, it does something different than listening to an effect on a guitar afterwards, because you're actually writing. It's doing something to
it's
how you're playing.
It's inspiring you on the spot.
Absolutely.
And the same goes with vocals. You know, I when I first started recording, the engineer that I recorded with made me sing everything dry, and then effects on later. And I'm like, oh, I need something on there so that at least my voice sounds halfway decent to myself while I'm singing it, because I feel like I will sing better. And when I finally put my own studio together and was able to do it exactly the way I wanted to, that's what I did. And I figured out how to not have to deal with much latency, but also give myself a little reverb and delay so that my voice just didn't sound so sterile.
Absolutely.
And it really, it helped me be more creative in the vocals. And you're right. The pedals are exactly the same way.
Mm-hmm.
When you're hearing it and you're feeling it and you're going, wow, this sounds really cool, you'll do cooler things.
Dude.
I think.
The pedal writes the riff.
Yep.
You know, I was reading in the Stomp Box, that book that came out. You know, guys justify it. They go, look, if I buy this pedal and make one song, it's worth the pedal.
Totally.
One song. That's all I ask, you know, and that's how it goes. And it's the pedal makes the riff. It really does. You know, you'll play according. If I plugged in an envelope filter, I'm going to do something that sounds probably good through an envelope filter. I'm not going to play a metal riff, you know?
Yeah.
So they're really neat and inspiring. And I think it's also, you know, everything about it, the colors, the actually physically moving these things, these parts, plugging them and stepping on the pedal. We forget about that. Like, that's huge.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. Like, doing that, there, it does something to us. It, like, ignites something else, like this detonator. It's something cool. The first time, if you've ever plugged in a distortion and you're like, oh, let me just stand up and then, whoa, that just...
It's like you have power at your toes.
Yeah, like detonator. You're like, oh my gosh, that just changed like that. Look at it. It's so cool.
Yeah.
You can know nothing on guitar and just strum open strings and you go, wow, that's amazing. If I just click this on, that sounds cool.
Yeah.
Sounds like the band came in or the dynamics escalated.
Yep. And I think the OCDs contribute to that. I think they are a really good tool, a good creative tool.
Yeah.
They've got just enough on there with the low pass and the high pass and then the three knobs to where you can do as little or as much, dirtier or as clean as you want to do. And so it's got something for everybody.
Totally.
Which makes it cool. But yet it doesn't have so many choices that you're like, I don't even know how to run this thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's cool because it's an amp in a box. You have a bad amp. It's like, well, this kind of sounds like a good amp. You have a good amp, it's transparent. It won't color your tone. So, you know, win-win.
There you go.
With that. But interesting, the germanium take on things outside of fuzzes and the reliability. And which day did we do it on? Let's go outside. Let's record this riff outside.
It's raining
outside.
Out. Yeah, let's go
it's
out
It's raining.
There.
Perfect. You get a thermometer. Or is that the worst idea ever? You know, is it like, we don't ever tour with that thing? Are you kidding? You'll never get that sound.
That's right.
Yeah, just warmer, woolier, fatter. To my ear, I really enjoyed the germanium. I thought it just sounded bigger. It sounded closer to a fuzz. It's subtle, but it did.
Yep.
You know.
All right. Do you have anything else, Jeff, you want to add about the OCDs that we either haven't covered now or in the YouTube shootout?
I'm a fan of the teal. The teal.
I like it.
That's it.
I do too. All right. You ready to move on to our fan mail?
Yeah, let's do it. What are they saying?
Okay, I've got one here.
Nice.
We have an email here from Phil in Portland, Oregon.
Hey, Phil.
Hey, Phil. Thanks for writing us. Phil says, hey, Bill and Jeff, love your YouTubes. Question, I really liked your wah episode. Are you guys going to shoot out more wahs in the future?
Oh, absolutely.
Phil. Jeff, we've been talking about it, right?
That episode we were kind of worried about, just how we were going to film it, and it worked out. So more to come. And there are more wahs, Bill.
Yeah, we have a few more wahs here in the inventory, and then we might have to go out and find a couple choice ones to do. But I thought the wah was fun because it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
You know, the way we filmed it, you're right. Mm-hmm. And they just sound so cool. I mean, every pass is different.
Yep.
And they're such an expressive type pedal in your arsenal that to listen to ones that have different voices, I mean, I really can't wait to do some more of those.
It's hard to do the same thing twice. So when you learn to do it, it's really something. The art of wah, you know, and where to put where the sweet spots are on all of these. And they all have their things, you know, like a deeper sweep or a higher. They're just so different. And it's hard because we've talked about it before, like how many custom signature wahs are they going to make? You remember it was like there was two. There's the Slash. You know, they started with the Slash one, and then it was like, oh my God, everybody has a wah. Which one do I get?
Yeah.
And so, you know, we'll just have to get them all.
I think we're going to have to get them all. You know what I'm really interested in?
What?
You said something when we were talking about wahs. I don't know if it was on camera or not. You said that you don't have to click this one wah, that it just knows.
Right.
It's got some sort of a sensor. What is that? Have so you the, played one?
Yeah. So the bass wah, the white one that they designed for bass players,
okay,
doesn't have a switch. It turns on automatically. And then the, not the 535Q, but the one, the 95Q, I believe, doesn't have a switch. And some of the custom shop ones don't have a switch. So they just turn on. So it's interesting. And I've always thought about this. So when you turn it on, the toe's up. And it turns on, so you're going into a sweep. Now, if you think of a wah, your toe's down when it turns on.
To
and
click
you,
it.
Yeah, and you go out of a sweep. I always thought of that. I was like,
that thing is sensitive to when you pull it all the way up, that's when it automatically turns
there's
on?
There's a sensor, and I believe the Steve Vai, the Morley. Morley may have been the first company, I could be wrong, that started this to where, oh my gosh, you just step on it and it turns on. That's crazy.
And I think you're ready to go into something.
And you sweep into a
That's
line.
That's genius.
And it's interesting, though. But now on every recording, you're going to hear a wah and go, oh, that wah just turned on because you hear the sweep out. You hear the toe up right when a wah turns on. Like, wah, dang it.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting to hear it the other way. And I was always like, well, what if it doesn't turn off? You know, what if, are you sure it's
sensoring? At least the click is a click, right?
At least I know it's there. And still, oh, man, we've talked about thinking your wah was off and it was on the whole time.
Yeah.
That's really something. At least have a light, which they've been putting in. Is it on? Is it off? Whether you click it or not. So, yeah, we'll have to get a couple of those. So, more to come to answer that.
Okay. So, that's the answer, Phil. That's a good question. And, yeah, we'll get to more of those in the future. All right.
Yes, indeed.
Jeff, our next segment here, the reverb delivery of the day.
What came through?
Well, we were just talking about wahs, and it's funny because, you know, you get something on the brain, and you know, then I start looking around. And as I was looking at wahs on reverb, I ran across the Boss T-Wah, the TW1.
Classic.
And we got one.
Made in Japan.
And here it is. I'm going to throw it over to you.
You know, Bill,
that's a fun pedal.
Here's the deal. You could always roll an ankle. What if your foot's out of commission? You know, I mean, that's all I was ever thinking about. So, like, it's funny because prior to auto wah, as Bosswood or T-Wah put it, the envelope filter. And I think people were like, what's an envelope filter? And I'm sure people followed it up with, it's an auto wah. It's an automatic wah. It's a wah you don't have to, you know, plug into and use your foot. It actually works on picking dynamics, which is so cool. So, totally different dynamic to your playing altogether. If you pick harder into the note, it opens up like you slam down on the wah, toe down. So you get more treble. So all of a sudden...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. So all of a sudden...
That's cool.
So that's the sweet spot of where you set the parameters. Mm. So all of a sudden, you're like, my picking dynamic has everything to do with this. If I dig in... So this T-Wah, the TW1, has a sensitivity. It has a down or an up, just like the Mutron. Everything copies the Mutron 3, which, spoiler alert, we will get to.
Yes.
There is one here in the room.
There is.
So that either goes toe up or toe down, depending on when you dig into that note.
Sure.
So the harder you dig in, it's going to quack up or down. And it's really a remarkable pedal. You know, going back to the Mutron, Bootsy Collins, Stevie Wonder, Jerry Garcia. It's that Grateful Dead solo tone that everybody knows. But it's so cool. All of a sudden, you're going, wait, my playing just changed dynamics completely. Like, okay, I can pick... As far as when I dig into this note, it opens up the wah. And it's cool because it's almost intuitive to when you're playing a solo where you'd hit the notes harder. So complete game changer. And this one's kind of cool because this came on the market and I think everybody was getting this TW1. And it's so simple. It's sensitivity, peak, and then up or down.
Yeah, that's a fun pedal.
Yeah.
And we talked about this before. I like a cocked wah sound.
Yeah.
So if you get the spot there and you got your the sound that you want, and then, like you said, you can mess around with that too, depending on how hard you strike the strings.
It's so cool. And pickups are so important.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'd suggest single coils with these. They respond because the humbuckers are a little too compressed. Those single coils on a Strat, oh, man, all day long, funk, just opening up. But, yeah, if any foot problems out there, if you're not able to wah, this is the solution. Very cool find.
I wonder how old that is.
So it's a made in Japan. You always know on the back it has the black logo. Made in Japan. It's the AC-A adapter. So we just use 9 volts on these guys. Yeah. And probably 87.
Something like that. Yeah, 80s.
Too cool.
Yep. All right.
Nicely done.
Yep. That's our reverb delivery of the day.
Good one. That's a great one.
Yeah.
Here's a weird shout out about that pedal, Bill.
What?
So there's a Edie Burkell, the artist from the 80s.
Okay.
What I Am was her hit song, claim to fame, if anybody out there knows. Edie Burkell, she had a guitar solo in that song. Very distinct envelope filter sound. And Kenny Withrow, if I'm saying his last name correct, was the guitar player. This is a little OCD, okay? But I knew he did the solo, and I remember coming across his name on a message board or something, and people were talking about it, and I remember finally figuring it out through somebody else going, oh, that was the Boss T-Wah that he used, and I had no idea. I always thought it was a wah pedal, and so all along I was like, this is the sound of that 180s solo that everybody knows. It was kind of that one song that was on MTV.
That's so cool that you know that.
Late 80s, just weird little things that stick, man. The Boss T-Wah, though, was that sound. So,
boy, that hard drive in your head is pretty full.
What it holds on to, Bill. What it lets go. Who knows?
All right, that's great. Okay, Jeff, what's going on in music? Our next segment here. And I always spring this on you, so I'm just going to lay this out for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know about this. So I went out to Nashville.
Yes.
3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, I almost felt like I was in a different world. Nashville was rocking.
Yeah.
So me and my buddy, our sponsor, Ian A Guitars.
Ian
had a guitar to deliver.
That's right.
Out there. To his buddy Eddie, who's a session guy out in Nashville. And so we took the guitar out, and while we were there, we did a few things. One was we actually went to one of the first concerts that were performed since COVID started in Nashville. Now, they just opened up Broadway like 6-8 weeks ago, so the honky tonks are now open, and we went to them.
Yeah.
And they were packed. I mean, bands playing in every bar just lined up one after another with the windows open. You could just go by. You could check guys' pedal boards out. It was a lot of fun. And then we went and saw this guy, and our listeners may know this guy, Tom Bukovac. He's got a podcast called Homeschooling.
Nice.
And he had just shot his 100th episode, and so he had this celebration. And so what he did was he got a couple of guys together, and they had two daytime concerts at this venue. And Ian had tickets.
Uh-huh.
So we went, and so like at 4 in the afternoon, and there was like 300 people in this place. It was a very intimate setting. His wife got up and sang a song, but mostly it was instrumental.
Yeah.
And it was incredible, but what was so nice about it was it just felt normal. We lined up outside.
Oh, so nice.
We had tickets. We went in. The bar was open. There was people moving around. Everybody wore their masks, so they were on their best behavior, you know, in the venue. But it just felt really normal, and it was really a nice trip. And we also, while we were there, went to some guitar shops because we were looking for a 64 Strat.
Mm-hmm.
So we made our rounds to Carter Vintage. We went to Rumble Seats, and we ended up at Groons.
You were sending me pictures
of Groons. And in Groons, they did have a 64. It was a Vince Gill guitar, and they brought it out for us. And it had some issues. It had been repainted, and the repaint job was not well done. Mm. It was a hard tail. Had a couple of famous signatures on the back, and they were asking like $25,000 for it, which I thought was overpriced. So yeah. Ian's the guitar specialist. He was looking at it, and he goes, yeah, this is not what we want if we're going to get a 64. First of all, I think we can get something for 18, not 25. Nice. And this one's just got issues. And we've been checking it. It's still for sale there, so they haven't sold it. So what's going on in music is that there are
things going on,
and Nashville is just hopping.
That's a great.
And I did a little stopover in Texas on the way there.
Right.
And so my wife and I were cruising around looking at some stuff, and Texas felt really open too. We didn't get to go do any music stuff, but it just felt good to kind of be out and about, getting on a plane. The planes were full.
Yeah.
And having a good time. And I actually bought, we were just looking at it, I bought a little Princeton amp that I brought back with me.
Clean.
And, yeah, it's nice and 70s Princeton.
It
yeah.
looks brand new. Good, yeah. fine, Bill. That's great news, man. What a nice vacation, you know?
Yeah, it was.
Seriously.
It makes me want to move there.
I know. I think that's in the future.
The Nashville Riff Ranch.
Hey, it works. No, I was so stoked, man. You kept me posted that whole trip with the pictures, and it's just neat to hear that, man. You know, San Diego's kind of an island on an island already.
Well, we're in California, and so it seems like everything's just a little more strenuous here. Everything seems just feels more locked down than you see in some other places.
Yeah.
And maybe that's good. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But it just felt good to feel normal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
No, I'm glad, man. That's cool. And it's great to have Ian around when you're looking at expensive stuff. I mean, I'm intimidated buying most things, you know, guitar related, but having him, it's like, rest assured.
Well, he makes them. You know, and he makes a really nice Strat.
He really does.
You know, he makes a Standard, and so he looks at those things. And that, if you're looking for a vintage guitar, if it's been repainted, it's not the original paint. Uh-huh. First of all, you know, that cuts the value like in half.
Yeah.
And then if it wasn't done well, then you know that lessens the value, because you can always get somebody like Ian. He will repaint an old one like that, especially if it has a crappy paint job. But you know, you're going to spend a couple grand to fix a repaint, and you know, if you overpay for it in the first place, and you're a collector, you know, either they're going to go up or it'll sit where it is, or if you overpaid and you got to fix some stuff, it may take a while for you to get your money back if you decide you want to, you know, offload it. So yeah, you're right. It is nice to have Ian around.
Yeah. Too cool,
which is
man.
A good segue. We want to thank Ian for sponsoring our podcast.
Thank
today.
You, Ian.
Yep.
Very cool.
All right, Jeff, anything else we need to talk about? We covered the OCDs. We did our thing.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add before we wrap up this episode?
That was it, man. That was a great one. I liked segueing to the germanium side of things.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we might have some germanium discussions coming up in some future episodes.
I'm pretty sure of it.
We're predicting the future.
Boom.
All right. Hey, Jeff, it was good talking with you today. And we want to thank our listeners for listening. And that concludes another episode of the SoCal Riff Ranch podcast.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.